Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my sergeant... No, I don't like that. Shoot.
Sergeant Ramblings.
Let me... Oh, that's a good one. Shoot. All right. Shoot. Let me go back and do this again.
Okay.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my friend Frank, who likes to frolic in the fields of strawberries.
I do like that, yeah.
Is that one pretty good?
That's good. That's
right,
pretty
one
good.
Time.
We'll go with that.
No, I'm just kidding. I won't do it again. No, my walrus friend, my friend who holds my hand too much. My friend who plays with his yellow submarine. No, wait, no. That one might be wrong.
This might be a little heavy-handed.
Anyway, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, my friend?
I'm very good. Those are good, right? I had ammo.
That time. Yeah, you did. Really did. You for real
but
did.
Except for that first one. I was caught off guard.
Little unawares.
I couldn't decide. There are too many.
You made up for it after that, that's for sure.
Thank you. We are drinking the same thing tonight.
We are
drinking Shipyard Pumpkinhead, as we said last week that we would.
Yeah.
We followed through with our promise to nobody.
We're just a couple of nowhere men. We made a promise to ourselves, and we kept it. Yeah, I love this stuff. I drink this every year at this time. And I am rather enjoying it.
I'm actually going to pour into this glass that I have
right
here.
Fancy.
Well,
it
was filled with water.
I'm a rube.
It was filled with beer.
Well, I'm a rube, and I drink out of a bottle.
Sometimes I find that if I don't finish if I drink out of the bottle. Like, I don't know why. Like, I have a tendency to take bigger gulps in the glass than in the bottle.
Okay.
I take sips in the bottle, and then all of a sudden I'm not thirsty or I'm full, and then I don't finish, which is horrible, because then I gotta put the beer in the fridge and then finish old beer, which is terrible.
Yeah, no one wants that.
No.
That's interesting.
Because I'm also a completist.
Yes, me too. Yes. I am such a completist that when I get into something, I really, really get into it. When I get into a band or a movie or a TV
show. Our friendship, whatever.
Yeah, I just want to write it out till you die. Yeah. And
that's awful.
Yeah, well, I didn't say I was going to make you die.
This is true.
But
this
eventually one of us will, and you know, I hope it's you. We're bringing back our good old trusty segment that we've gotten some good feedback on, and it's called Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Hit me with your best shot. Why don't you hit me with your best shot?
This time out, we're going to talk music. We don't really talk music very much in the show.
No, we don't. No. That's funny, considering we are actually both musicians.
We are, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about my very, very favorite band of all time.
The Monkees.
Nope.
The Daggett.
Yeah. Bands.
No, the Monkees was as low as I could go.
Monkees aren't bad. I like the Monkees.
No, I actually like the Monkees too.
Yeah.
More than just the song that everyone sings to annoy you.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
No, I love the Beatles. The Beatles are my favorite band of all time, and I have been obsessed with them for pretty much my entire life.
It is one of the first things I learned about you.
Yeah.
He loves Superman, he loves the Beatles, and he loves his wife.
That's true. That is true.
Although that was... I guess one of the last things I learned about you, considering how long we've been friends.
Right. Yeah. How long I've been married. Yeah. So I am really obsessed with the Beatles. I've been a big, big, big fan ever since childhood. Really, ever since childhood. I cannot get enough. I kind of consider myself sort of a, you know, I like to study the Beatles' history on an amateur level and
sure.
And learn about it. So,
so tell me, where did the Scarab Beatles come from?
Well, I can't even dignify that. I can't even dignify that. My dad raised me on
Scarab Beatles. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you survive? They're not nourishing.
It was tough.
In fact, you nourish them.
Yeah. Well, in Soviet Russia.
In ancient Egypt. Scarab. I don't
know. what's your exposure to the Beatles?
I think my very first exposure to them was the number one album that came out.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I used to listen to that quite a bit, actually, not understanding the different eras the Beatles went through.
Right.
And maybe, I got that they were popular. Like, yeah. I don't think anybody has really been like, oh, the Beatles, they were like a small-time thing, right? Like,
right, obviously, you know, they're huge.
Right. Especially if we're still talking about them the way that we talk about mm-hmm. them today.
50 years later.
Right. And so I used to listen to that number one album a lot, actually.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but a lot of the song, but I really liked when I was a kid, I really liked their early stuff before they got experimental.
Yep.
And then my exposure to them has actually been real slow over a year. I've never sat down and listened to the White Album or, you know, Rubber Soul.
Rubber Soul, yep.
I've never sat down to listen to like Rubber Soul from start to finish.
Have you listened to any album start to finish other than that number one's album?
Maybe Abbey Road, but I don't even think, even that, like, I don't, like,
okay.
Different songs from different things, or I'll pull ones that I know, but for some reason I don't go and listen to, and this is true pretty much for a lot of things, I have a hard time going and listening to songs that I've never heard before.
Okay.
Just on the fly, mostly because I know I'll just forget it. It like needs to hit me in some kind of emotional way, In My Life. So the first time I heard that song, I was in high school, and we had two theater directors, and one of them was leaving to go to another school. Have that right? No, our music director was leaving to go to another school. So one of the directors, who had a beautiful voice, sang that song to him at the going away party.
That's nice.
That was my first exposure to it.
Sure.
And then my brother, actually, that was the song my brother and my mom danced to at his wedding.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Which was really nice. Not by the Beatles, though. It was a cover.
Okay.
So it was like stuff like that. But I rarely sit down to just listen to the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, yeah. I have bands that are like that for me, too. Yeah, so I totally understand that. Like I said, I was raised on the Beatles. I don't remember the first time I heard any Beatles songs. Like, I feel like I came out of the womb knowing all of them. That's how long that's my whole life. I've gotten to know certain albums better and better over time and that kind of thing. But I've known, I feel like, the whole catalog and much of their history for pretty much my whole life. So I think what would be fun to do, for me anyway, and you tell me if you agree, is I'll kind of take you through the history of them. I feel like the history is sort of how I came to appreciate what the music meant so much. Like you mentioned before, you didn't really know when you were first listening to the one album.
Right.
You know, the different eras and what it meant, like the different, I think understanding their, what was happening in the world and what was happening to them in their lives, sort of paints a lot of pictures there. So I think it would be interesting to go through it that way. Is that make
I
sense
agree.
To you?
Yeah. I actually phased out, and so I didn't listen to one word you just said, but I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Different eras of their life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So, you know, they met in the 50s. Paul and George went to school together. Paul met John.
Can you do this whole thing in a Liverpool accent, please?
Well, but it's going to be really offensive to the Liverpoolians out there.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what you want to do.
I don't know. What do you want to do?
Yeah. Are you going to talk about the Jungle Book in your Beatles? I thought it was you
three. So yeah, they met in the late '50s. Then Paul met John, and he said, "Hey, I know this other great guitar player, George." So they three of them.
Hey, I know this other together. Gospel writer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they joined John's band. Over time, they brought in eventually Ringo. You're just gonna do this.
I was just gonna make Bible jokes, but I won't.
Synoptic. It's
fine. Well, they
like the three synoptics in the
gospel.
Yeah.
Although Paul didn't write a gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of stuff about
neither
things.
Did George or
right.
Ringo.
Yeah.
Right. Only John.
Just John.
And John wasn't even synoptic.
It's not the gospel.
All right. So exegesis jokes. All right. Welcome to Bible with Geeks. Wow. Oh, there's some deep cuts there.
Exegesis. That was a good job.
Those are jokes for like our upcoming Catholic podcast at some point.
Yeah, right? Is that a thing that we're going to do?
Apparently it is.
Oh, my God.
Apparently we have jokes about it, so why not?
We don't have to say exegesis.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. They toured around the UK. They famously went to Hamburg, Germany for several months. They were the house band at a couple of different bars, and they started to get really good at being like a little band who could play any song that anyone requested.
Sure.
That's how they got like really became a tight band. Came back to the UK. They got a record contract finally after many, many attempts. Famously, Decca Records turned them down. Decca, who later signed the Rolling Stones, turned them down because they were
They did something right.
Yeah, well, later, only because they turned down the Beatles and said, oh, no, electric guitar bands are on their way out.
Right. It's like all the companies that turned down Harry Potter before Scholastic was like, Yeah, we'll take it.
In 1960, they were like, yeah, electric guitar bands are that craze is over. And so, yeah, that guy didn't have a career. But the Beatles finally got there. They did Please Please Me was their first album. Love Me Do is on that album. Twist and Shout.
Love Me Do. Twist and Shout.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can do this to a certain point.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah, see how many songs like I actually know versus songs that I'll just make up the tune
we'll
for.
See.
Yeah.
So that was their first. They recorded that entire album in one day.
What?
They just recorded it in one day because they were a touring band, a live band. So they basically just...
They didn't have time.
They did a bunch of songs that they knew how to play that they would play at their concerts.
Wow.
So that's what they did. That was the first album. So it was pretty much all covers.
Just a mash. Yeah.
Pretty much. Except for I Saw Her Standing There and one or two others. It was all covers.
One or two others.
Yes. That one. No. Yeah. all right. So that they were huge in the UK and in Europe at this point. So they were a huge, huge hit. This is 62, 63. So, then their next album came, and keep in mind, they're recording two albums a year, every 6 months or so. If it was 6 months and there wasn't a new Beatles album, it was like, whoa, where'd they go? We're like, now it's like, oh man, it's been 5 years, time for a new Taylor Swift album. Like, people go years and years, and that's normal. This was twice a year.
So what we're saying is, people don't work as hard as they used
to. Well, what I'm saying is, they released 13, 14 albums in 7 years.
Right.
Like, they worked, and that was the entirety of their career. It was 7 years on the world scene. So you move on to With the Beatles. That was their next album. On With the Beatles, we're looking at songs like I'm trying to think if these are songs you may not know as well, or at least I'm trying to think of
when
the more.
When does I Want to Hold Your Hand come out?
So that's coming.
Oh, okay.
But She Loves You was a single from With
she
the
Beatles.
She
Loves You, yeah, right.
So there's one. So this is when now they're starting to get bigger they're all over Europe now. Like the Beatlemania is sweeping
Denmark,
all across Europe.
Switzerland.
Yes, actually, yes. They're touring all of Europe. They're touring 360 days a year.
Wow.
Like they get 5 days off a year, and those
Christmas,
5 days off, maybe.
Veterans Day.
Yeah, maybe. So then after this album, you get I Want to Hold Your Hand comes out.
I want to hold your hand.
And that became number one in the U.S. They had released a couple singles in the U.S., and they just didn't chart at all. People hadn't heard them. But I Want to Hold Your Hand gets played on the radio. It starts to rise in the charts. It goes to number one in the U.S., and they had made a deal with their manager. They were not going to visit the United States until they had a number one single.
Oh.
Other British acts had come to the U.S. after being huge and then just come back
destroyed,
an embarrassment.
Destroyed them.
So they were like, we don't want to do that. We want to be on top, stay on top, and we don't want to go there and come back just embarrassed.
That makes sense.
So they were like, and it was kind of an arrogant thing to do considering they were 22, between ages like 19 and 22. That's the age
you can get away with saying exactly. stuff like that.
So they came to number one, and they came to the U.S., and they landed at JFK Airport, and which had only – put this in historical perspective. They came in February of 64. JFK was assassinated in November of 63. So think about where this country was, you know, only 4 months after the assassination of the most beloved president
in
modern times. And yet the country is overwhelmed and overcome with this love for these British guys. People were mistrustful. They were like, these are from guys from another country. This is not American.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Look at their bowl cuts. Bowl cuts are for commies.
Literally, people like, they look like a bunch of girls. Those haircuts make them look like girls.
Which it's like Hanson.
From our historical perspective, is like, no, they just look like men with long hair. But people literally thought they looked like women.
Yeah.
Because like no men had hair even that long. In the US.
Cultural revolution.
Yeah. Exactly. So just think about that when you think about how the country needed something positive, something upbeat, something happy, because it was a national tragedy had just occurred a couple months earlier. So they come, they do the Ed Sullivan Show.
I've actually seen.
Cool. So that's mm-hmm. like probably, that's one of the, that's.
Because they did 3 days on the Ed Sullivan Show,
they did
right?
They did three different appearances. Ed Sullivan Show was on Sunday nights. It was the most watched show in America.
They had like four channels.
You had ABC, CBS, and NBC, and he was on CBS. Those were your choices in 64.
And PBS.
No, I don't think PBS existed yet. I think it may be a little later.
That was the 70s. Shoot. There's a X-Men Days of Future Past.
Where
it's like, I'm recording on all four stations.
Right.
And PBS.
Nice. I forgot about that joke. That's good.
Yeah.
And
PBS.
I don't think PBS existed quite yet. It was around the corner still. So three channels, and he was on one of them. 73 million people watched them on the Ed Sullivan Show.
It was insane.
The biggest TV watching audience in history up to that point.
That's a real water cooler talk.
It might still be one of the bigger ones. huge, like everybody was watching this. And he was very smart. He put them at the beginning of the show and the end of the show. So you had to stick around to watch them again. So it was very smart. And it was live. So, all right, they're touring the entire world now. I mean, even Australia, even the Philippines, every corner of the world.
Even Australia?
Yeah, which was, you know, back then, it's like an 11-hour flight now. Imagine what it was like back then.
Oh, my God.
So this is what's called the British invasion. All these British bands start coming in now after the Beatles made their big debut.
But this is the happy British invasion because America's been invaded by the British before.
Exactly.
And we didn't take on that then.
Exactly.
They weren't really invading because they owned it.
Right.
They were just visiting.
So they do their movie A Hard Day's Night. The idea was the studios were like, they made a deal with the studio and they were like, we're going to crank out this movie. We're going to shoot it. We're going to shoot it in like a few weeks. Richard Lester was the director.
Yeah.
And we're going to release it immediately before this craze dies out, because obviously this band's not going to last. It's a boy band. It's not going to last.
Is A Hard Day's Night the one where they all their beds are like on the floor and they like all move?
Nope. That's coming.
Okay.
That's coming. This is the black and white one. First one they did, they just cranked it out. It's very funny. It's still like taught in film classes as like a really funny, because it's very Marx Brothers type of humor.
Sure.
That was Richard Lester's inspiration
director
for
of Superman
it.
2 and yes. a couple of the Musketeer movies for exactly. people who did not listen to last week's episode.
And Superman 3.
Is that last week's episode? 2 weeks ago?
Sure, I don't remember.
some episode previously.
Yeah, I think it was last week. Yeah,
oh, it was our extended edition,
cut. So it was last week.
Not,
yeah.
It was not last week.
No. Okay. No. All right. I believe
2 weeks ago.
No. I believe you. So A Hard Day's Night comes out. Great album goes along with it. The song A Hard Day's Night is probably the best known song from that album.
Right? No, maybe it was last week. I don't know. Yeah, sorry. I'm not listening to you anymore.
So we've got that going on. Then coming out of that is...
Wait, what was the number one song on A Hard Day's Night? I'm sorry.
A Hard Day's Night.
Oh, okay, great.
It's probably the best known song. It was last week. So just a side.
So this is for this week.
Correct. When will then be now?
Now. Soon. Yeah. That was the moment I was having in my head.
Beatles for Sale is the next album that comes out.
Okay. Beatles for Sale.
Yeah.
They're from Britain. Really, Liverpool?
Oh, but I thought Liverpool was.
Abbey Road.
So 8 Days a Week comes off of this album.
Okay.
All right. So you know that one?
That's, yeah.
Yeah. So 8 days a week. It comes off
8 days a week, and yep. I've been working. Like,
nope. No, just kidding. Yeah.
Nope.
I do. Yeah.
It's at this point that they are, the Queen honors them, not as knights, but as members of the British Empire, which is like a big uproar. Like, they're just singers. What are you making them? Hey, why are they getting this big honor?
Hey, in a world where Bob Dylan could win the Pulitzer Prize. But Nobel Peace Prize?
Nobel Peace Prize.
Nobel Peace Prize. But anything is possible.
This is 50 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Like,
well,
this is
yeah.
the first time anything like that had ever happened. Right. No musicians, no artists.
And they look like girls right. besides.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So then Help came out. That was the movie that
I
in
need
color.
Somebody.
That's
help.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's the one where they're sleeping in the floor.
That has one of my favorite jokes of anything from that era. Where there's like the burglars and like all this stuff, and one I can't even remember which one because it's been so long since I've seen it. One of them trips and is on the floor, and one goes, "What are you doing on the floor?"
I'm tired. Yeah. Yes,
it's so great.
It's Ringo and John, I think, who had an exchange.
I'm tired.
Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. So Help comes out. This is a funny story. They did a whole sequence in the Bahamas in that movie. It's because they were like, we need a vacation, but we have to work. Hey, guys, why don't you write in some scenes in the Bahamas?
Wow.
Literally. That's so they could get a little awesome. Vacation, like be in a tropical place while
they're
working.
That's how you get stuff done,
that's
though.
Because they have 4 days off
country.
A year.
I guess I'll write a movie that takes place in France.
It's like, well, we're doing this movie anyway, so we might as well go somewhere fun while we're shooting it, because they only had 5 days off a year, 4 or 5 days off a year. Oh, so, like, brutal. Nonsense. They were just nonstop working. Then comes Rubber Soul. So Rubber Soul has In My Life that you mentioned. Oh, Yesterday was a single.
Yesterday.
It came out at this time.
So far
that was one of the first shifts there, because it's the.
Yeah.
Listen
yeah.
to Yesterday. So it's very much a ballad. All these songs up to now have been pop songs, very poppy, very, you know, all about like girl, like I love you, I want to hold your hand, she loves you, like this kind of stuff. 8 days a week, I love you, like all that kind of stuff. But here it's like. Very retrospective, very introspective. Suddenly, also, it's just Paul playing guitar and a string quartet, and that's it. The rest of the Beatles are not on this album, on this song.
It's just Paul.
Just Paul singing, Paul playing guitar, and then
and the string quartet. String quartet. Yeah, there's no I other. Love Yesterday.
They were kind of embarrassed by this song, because they were like, this is like, we're a rock and roll band. This is like, ooh, sappy.
Don't be embarrassed. So good.
Well, he performed on the Ed Sullivan Show after this and everything. You know, and
they can go either way, because, you know, like Bobby Darin tried something like that when he shifted to folk instead of big band. And it originally did
it
not
backfired
fly.
At first, yeah. So they were nervous about it. I mean, it wasn't a shift in all of their music. Not like they suddenly changed everything.
And that's
but,
why I worked for Bobby Darin, too, right, because he learned not to shift completely.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Yesterday comes out. They're on their another U.S. tour. This one they play Shea Stadium.
Who's president at this time?
This would be LBJ.
Okay.
Yeah. LBJ was president. They played Shea Stadium, the biggest crowd they'd ever played. It was the first time Beatles invented the idea of, well, there's no concert halls big enough to hold all the crowds, and we don't want to have giant lines spilling out into the streets anymore when they can't get tickets and crying. So what if we just like got a sports stadium and just put all the people on the outside,
again,
like let them buy tickets?
Something you can pull in your 20s.
Yeah. But it was also a business decision. They were like, it was a business and a safety decision. Literally, one of the reasons was like there were girls in the streets screaming and like blocking traffic and everything. Like, let's just put them inside. Like, okay, I guess we have to sell tickets and make more money that way. But like, the demand was clearly there, and they were just like, what is a big enough place to
sports stadium? No,
that's it.
It's actually
Shea Stadium fits 50,000 people. Great. Put them inside the stadium. Now they're not on the street anymore.
Now they're a festival, like Country Fest. And,
right.
You know,
now
Paul still plays stadiums
regularly. You know, like, Bruce Springsteen can play Gillette Stadium.
Billy Joel and Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, and just these giant
people like Beyonce, but even like Kevin Hart did a stand up in a stadium.
TD Garden and Madison Square Garden,
which
like,
is tough.
Yeah.
Because that depends on like
you need like to read
laughter.
The room and stuff.
Yeah,
hard. It's harder with them. But they couldn't hear themselves or each other. They couldn't hear themselves singing. They didn't have nowadays they have like in-ear monitors or even just like speakers facing them. They didn't have that.
And no, I played outside. It is awful.
And they're being pumped through the stadium PA system. So the same thing that's like now batting for the New York Mets. It's like
I'm
like
glad that. They went for the same song.
Me too.
Yeah.
So that's what they're dealing with. But you know, it was the beginning of that way of doing concerts, and so
that could have broke them.
Yeah.
Because people could have gone home.
Yeah.
And been like, that sounded terrible.
Well, but people didn't care that they couldn't hear them. And
before the onset of Yelp.
Yeah. But it was more people just wanted to see them. Like these were screaming teenage girls who just had a giant crush. Couldn't hear them. They were going to scream over them anyway, even if they could hear them. that wasn't why they were there. They were just like, I want to be in the same room as the Beatles.
Right.
Which starts to go down a path. So, all right. So that Shea Stadium concert happens, Yoko, and other stuff happens. They get to meet Elvis on this tour. Rubber Soul comes out. Rubber Soul, you've got Norwegian Wood. You've got Drive My Car.
You can drive my car.
All right. I know you'd need one. In My Life is off of this
In
record.
My Life.
Now, this is where you start.
Not the latest song. Nope. I know.
Nope. This is where we start to see a shift. This is all original compositions on this album from here on out. And they are doing some really interesting stuff. Norwegian Wood uses a sitar. This is the first time that any Eastern instruments were used in Western music. George Harrison had gone to India and had an experience there and started to get into Eastern.
It's totally groovy, man.
This is where the beginning of the psychedelic movement really
right.
Very, very beginnings of it in late 65. Also worth mentioning that they recorded this in a real rush in like 2 months because it was going to be the end of 65. They owed the label one more album. It was October and they were like, shoot, we got to record another one before the year is over. So they recorded it in like 2 months and put it out.
Do they all get along with one another at this point?
Yeah, yes, okay. They still do, but they are, because they have been through war together. They've been through 360-day years of just nonstop work, and they're the only ones who've ever been in that bubble together. So they're brothers. So, all right. So then you've got 66. They do their last tour ever. Their very last show is at Candlestick Park in California.
It's so funny. It's not that long.
They were only toured the U.S. like 3 or 4 times in 2 years.
Crazy.
But in 2 years. Like, they toured 3 or 4 times in 2 years.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Because they worked so much.
And they toured the whole world in that time. Like, they toured the world 3 or 4 times over in 2 years. Absolutely nuts. Absolutely bonkers. So, you've got, coming out of Rubber Soul, then you've got Revolver, which is my favorite Beatles album. If I have to pick one, this is my favorite one, Revolver. So I think that you could listen to Rubber Soul and Revolver as a two-part album almost, because the beginning of Rubber Soul starts with Drive My Car. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a very straightforward rock and roll song. Sure, you got your Norwegian Wood in there that's got a little change up. Okay, fine. Revolver starts with Taxman. It's got
Get Bent, Taxman.
It's got Good Day Sunshine. It's got Yellow Submarine on it, which Yellow Submarine is already a Scott Howard song.
Yeah,
and it ends with, and I'm not sure if you know, Tomorrow Never Knows, and that is a real trippy song.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's a real, real trippy song. That is just like, it's got this sitar drone, and it's got John Lennon singing like two notes the entire song, and all these weird sound effects in the background. Mm. And so you go from Drive My Car to that in the span of two albums, and you're like, what happened? Uh-huh. Like, this band completely pivoted now. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And they stopped touring at this point. So now they're an all studio band. They're just focused on putting out a new sound and doing something different than they did last time, which has always been their thing. But when they've pushed the limits of still being like a traditional rock band. It's now they're going into weird territory. They're going to different countries and looking for different sounds to get all these interesting new directions. Next thing that comes out after Revolver, after the Tomorrow Never Knows weirdness, is Sgt. Pepper, which is what's really known for being the psychedelic album.
Sure.
It had been more than 6 months since this album came out. The Beach Boys put out Pet Sounds, which was a beloved album in 66. Yeah. I still love that album to death. It just turned 50. So everyone was like, the Beach Boys are putting out some really interesting stuff. This is even weirder than Revolver, than the last Beatles album. The Beatles haven't put out anything in like 8 months. Like, lost their touch?
Yeah,
have the Beatles lost their touch? Like, the Beach Boys
it's the new bees in town.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh man, like, what's going on here? Meanwhile, the Beatles are sitting on Sgt. Pepper, which
the
is
Beatles
like,
are ready to beat them.
Yeah, so out comes Sgt. Pepper and 67, and that whole summer is what's called the Summer of Love. That's when you have Woodstock and you have all these crazy, not Woodstock, but you have all these crazy
festivals,
psychedelic stuff. Yeah, Monterey Pop Festival happens that year in Monterey, California. That was a big psychedelic festival. So that's really when the psychedelic movement is really up in full swing, and that was sort of Sgt. Pepper is like the soundtrack to that, right?
Sure.
All right. So now you're in Sgt. Pepper, and that's got Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane were singles off of that as well. Magical Mystery Tour.
Penny
comes
Lane.
Up. Yep. Magical Mystery Tour is, they put out
the name of the bus from Scooby Doo.
Correct. No. And no, it's not Mystery Machine, but close enough. Magical Mystery Tour was a TV movie that they put out.
Okay.
It is pretty bad. Hmm. It was weird. It was very weird. The whole thing was just psychedelic. They were on drugs. It was weird. It's good music. I'm the Walrus. That kind of stuff is on here. But it's a weird movie. The White Album, that's a two-disc album. That that's a very, very experimental album. This is where they now they're not so much friendly anymore. They've gotten really to fighting. They're all going their different directions. Yoko is here, but they really it's about different
Yoko
directions.
Yoko is here.
I think Yoko's influence is overstated. They were going to break up anyway.
Sure.
And she was a catalyst for it.
She was just there. Yeah.
But it was going to happen anyway. The White Album is basically the four of them doing a bunch of solo work. They're not on each other's songs a lot of time. There's plenty
They're
of cases
individual
where...
individual pieces that are compiled into...
A lot of times it's like Paul's playing all the instruments on his own song while George is in the next room recording all the instruments on his own song.
Wow.
Like, they're so disparate in a lot of ways here.
And what was the thing that really, like...
They just grew apart. They
yeah,
grew
it
apart.
Happens.
They were starting to pursue different interests, like I mentioned. George,
so they,
George with the Eastern, with the Indian stuff.
So
John with Yoko.
Did they hate each other?
Nah, they just weren't getting along anymore. And yes, they would fight.
They're sick of each other.
They were starting to get sick of each other. It's like being with your family for too long, and you're just like, oh my God, I know it's Christmas, but I'm tired of you. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
So it's like that. So that was the White Album. It's really great. It's actually very much worth a listen, but it's very experimental. So then you have... they go their separate ways for a few months and they don't do anything for a while. And it's a pretty miserable recording experience. Then they record Let It Be, but they don't release it.
Interesting.
The whole Let It Be album is recorded. And they're fighting the whole time. The idea, they had one more film that they had to do for their studio contract. So they were like, let's film ourselves recording this album and then let's go do a concert somewhere like in Greece or at the Colosseum or somewhere huge and epic like that. Mm. And we'll play the whole album live for the audience for the first time.
That's pretty
cool. Stuff
we've
been working on. Yeah, it didn't happen. They just couldn't get it. They couldn't agree on where to go, what to do it. They were like, let's buy an island in the Caribbean. Let's do it on cruise ships. They just had crazy ideas.
First world problems.
They just couldn't. They couldn't figure out what they wanted to do, so they were like, what if we just go to the roof of this building that we're in right now and just perform the whole album and not tell anyone?
Abbey Road Studios.
Right. So they just go to the roof of their studio, and they play the whole Let It Be album for all of London to hear. The cops come, threaten to arrest them, and there's footage of this, and because it was for that movie that they were shooting of, like, the making of this album.
Right.
And in the making of the album, you see them fighting constantly and just getting on each other's nerves and everything, and it's just not a happy time. They go away. They separate ways for a few more months. They don't release the album because it was just a mess. And then they record Abbey Road, and it's the last one they recorded, and this is a really happy experience for them. They're all back together, and they're like, let's be creative together. Let's really try and, like, do stuff together, and they really, really do. Like, Abbey Road is a masterpiece. Like,
yeah.
You've got Something, and you've got Come Together, and Octopus's Garden, and Because, and Because. The End, you know, is this
right.
masterpiece of a suite. So you've got all Maxwell Silver Hammer, all these great things that are them working together again for a change.
Now, which one was people thought was dead?
Paul.
Because he's not wearing shoes, and that's like because of your like thing.
So someone made this whole thing that like, oh, if you listen to the lyrics, look at the song titles and look at pictures and album covers and stuff, there's all these clues that Paul died in 1966 and they've been covering it up ever since. And if the guy who's been Paul McCartney since 1966, still to this day, is some rando who they picked from a Paul McCartney lookalike contest and then gave him plastic surgery to look like Paul even more.
Dumb.
Abbey Road is one of my favorites as well. I think Revolver and Abbey Road are probably my two favorite, and then Rubber Soul's up there too. Sgt. Pepper is amazing, but I think it's a little bit overhyped. So Abbey Road,
you're overhyped. You're not.
No,
just kidding.
Thanks.
I love you.
Abbey Road comes out in 69, the same year it was recorded. And it ends with The End, which is the last thing they recorded together.
Mm-hmm.
It's fitting. And they didn't like decide like, okay, this is it. This is our last song. This is our last album. Like they just, but they kind of all knew like, yeah, we're probably not going to get back together and do this again.
Sure.
Then Let It Be comes out in the beginning of 1970, like a year after it was recorded. And, then Paul McCartney puts out his first solo album. And everyone's like, whoa, what? And with the album comes a press release that says, yeah, we've all been fighting and we're all suing each other. And, the Beatles are effectively done.
Wow.
And they all sued each other for many years. Like the lawsuits went on for years. But that's it ended in such a sad way, but it was such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And produced such, you know, world-changing music. I remember when the Beatles One album came out, they said 80 minutes of music that changed the world.
Yeah.
And it's really true.
Like, it is true.
They were, if you watch all the history and everything that was happening, Blackbird was about the civil rights struggle in the US. Like all these things were, they were shaping history and documenting history in the music. And it really, they followed the emotions and everything. All You Need Is Love was at, you know, the peak of all the hippie stuff. Like that was, they were
hey, my brother
taking
walked,
the pulse
my
of all this
my
stuff.
Brother and his wife walked out of their
wedding. Oh, like Love Actually.
Yeah, exactly like that. Which nice. I don't think either of them have actually seen.
That's super
so
funny.
So I thought it was really funny that they chose that. And my sister and I were like, but like, I made a joke to him. I was like, oh, maybe I should get some brass instruments hide him. And he's like,
I don't understand.
Yeah.
I've done kebabs.
Yeah.
Runs away.
What? Yeah. Sam. I made chicken kebabs. No one's going to shag you if you cry all the time.
yeah. So that's my story about the Beatles.
I tried to was tremendously good, and now I want to go and listen to all of their albums in sequential order.
You really should. I think that's their way to do it, because you hear this change over 7 years, but you hear it in a couple of hours of listening.
No, so good.
There's a new Ron Howard documentary just came out. It's called 8 Days a Week.
Yes.
Highly recommended for anyone.
I've heard it's very good.
I don't know if it's still in theaters. They were extending their time in theaters little by little, so it might still be. It might not be.
Definitely independent cinemas.
Yeah. And if you, definitely, like, you can buy it, you can rent it, that kind of thing. You buy it on iTunes, that kind of thing. But definitely I recommend seeing it in the cinema if you can, because after the movie is over, and like Paul and Ringo are in it, and audio interviews, archived interviews from George and Paul as well. But definitely see it in the theater if you can, because after the movie is over, they show the entirety of the Shea Stadium concert.
Oh, wow.
Which is only a half hour. They had very short concerts.
That's real cool.
But you can watch the whole film of the Shea Stadium concert, and it's been redone in 4K, and it's glorious. It had only ever been on VHS before that. So to go from VHS to 4K on a movie screen, it was just like a religious experience for me. So if you can see it in a movie theater, see it. It's like 3 hours altogether with the movie and the concert, and it's very much worth it.
That's awesome.
So that's the best shot for this week.
I highly enjoyed this best shot. I like listening to the best shots, I think, more than doing them.
Mm.
Doing them is pressure. You know?
This one was easy for me. This was just, I could do this in a series. Like, I have thought about, tell me this, listeners, if you, first of all, please leave us iTunes reviews. And we need those. So please send those to us. We want to break through into the iTunes charts a little bit more, and we're gonna need your support to do that. So please leave us iTunes reviews. Tell me in an email, maybe at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com or at beerwithgeeks on Twitter or beerwithgeeks on Facebook. If I started a Beatles podcast where I reviewed albums and movies and things like that from the Beatles, giving my perspective the way I did now with a little more detail than 30 minutes, I got to fit in. Their whole careers. Would you listen, or would you think that's an interesting idea? Let me know. One of the email address, Twitter, Facebook, hit me up and let me know. Beer with Geeks everywhere. Do you have any closing thoughts? Any final parting wisdom?
No, I'm too tired for puns.
Tired.
Tired. Oh, yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, then if that's all there is, then I guess I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Until next time.
Cheers.